This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, though, and welcome in one of our buddies, former Cleveland Brown, John Greco, breaking down everything when it comes to the Browns and also this offseason for the Browns. That, John, I don't know if you, I'm sure you probably didn't get a chance to pay attention to. I have the Browns right now at 10-4 in the offseason with all the incidences. Even though, what was the loss I just had, Anthony? Do you remember? So I could tell John, I wrote it down and I don't remember. What was the offseason?
Yeah,
it was a controversial one.
Yep, it was Miles and Baker being on the odds for comeback player of the year. I go, your back-to-back number one overall picks are on the comeback player of the year odds. So how do you think the offseason has gone so far for the Browns here, John?
First of all, you know, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me. I would agree with your record, and I have been paying attention. Although I don't know about the players lost, I think that is a controversial one. I think Miles for sure is poised to have a huge season, probably a career season. And I'm excited for Baker to see what he's going to do with some of his weapons and things that they did to shore up the offensive line. But I have done that, and I have paid attention. I think you're right on track with the 10 wins this offseason for the Browns.
And there's another thing. Thank you. There's another thing that I kind of want to give him 11th win because Lima brought this up before the show. He paid attention to what Albert Breer wrote over the weekend in terms of, wasn't it, Lima, where he didn't mention the Browns
teams that
during
had,
this offseason?
Yeah, teams that had their best offseason, and he went through them. He did not even mention the Browns. They talked about quarterbacks ready to make the jump or have bounce-back seasons, and he did not include Baker Mayfield. So I've just been surprised. ESPN has the Browns at 21st in their latest. They have 80 of their people that work there all put together a composite score, and the Browns are 21st in their power rankings. So they are definitely under the radar compared to where they were a year ago.
Is it better than, John, to go under the radar? I mean, you played.
Yeah, I think so. I last year, showed those guys a lot that – you know, you just can't just show up and win. I think they realize that now. So I think a fire was lit under their rear ends, and I think that they have kind of a different focus, different mindset, especially everything that's going on behind the scenes now. This current situation that we're in, there is a lot of, things, virtual meetings I know Baker's having, and this is all new to everyone. So, yeah, all the talk, I think that they're enjoying that, just being away. They can get back to maybe that underdog mentality where people aren't just crowning them before anything happens. So I think they like that. I think that's going to be fuel for the fire.
How difficult is it for this offensive line where you don't get a mini camp? I know you have virtual mini camp, whatever, but you don't get a lot of time together with each other. And then who knows what the training camp itself is going to look like? You got a new guy who's going to be going over there, a rookie going over there at left tackle. Is this a little harder than what we want to make it out to be for this group?
I think the obvious answer is yes, but they have enough veterans, enough terrific players up front that I think those guys, they don't need that mental part of it in the off season. They're going to benefit from, a lot of physical rest and being away. That's just going to make their minds and their bodies even more fresh when they show up for training camp, because it's going to be new. It's going to be like the first day of school. They're going to get back and see all their teammates in person. With that being said, they're going to have to get Jedrick Wills up to speed very fast in training camp. you know, he's going to step in, and yeah, is he a gifted athlete? Is he smart? Yes, absolutely. And the Browns had a terrific pick in him, but I think bringing him in training camp officially, if and when that goes underway, they're going to have to get him up to speed very fast, because those training camp practices, preseason games, they're going to be so much more valuable to get him quality reps. That way he's ready for one.
John Greco joined us on the hotline. You've seen the system that the Browns are about to undertake with Stefanski. It's that Shanahan type system you know so much about. How difficult is it to pick that up? How big of a transition will it be for this line and a couple of new faces to convert?
You know, in my opinion, it's one of the easier offenses to grasp and pick up. Initially, when I was playing in that offense and we were kind of installing it, there was kind of like, is that it? You know, where are the other 35 protections? You know, and I think that's a credit to how successful that offense has been. That scheme, you know, it's not fancy. It's, you know, they do window dressing with shifts and motions and personnel groupings, but at the end of the day, it's kind of their bread and butter. You know, maybe 5 to 6 concepts, and it's like, hey, you know what we're running, and try to stop us. So that's going to work to their advantage, because they've already seen it on paper. They have the installs. They're looking at everything, you know, and they're just going to have to get the physical, the physical part of it down with their footwork and everything when they hit training camp and the wheels start going. But I think it is going to be a little bit easier, because the concepts aren't, you know, it's not like reinventing the wheel. It's, you look at it, and it's just about running and getting out in space and moving and being athletic. And I think the Browns have that all over the field on offense. So I'm excited about it. And you know, I expect big things out of, the play action pass this year. And obviously the running backs, you know, because it is such a proven offense for running backs to have success.
So Jedrick Wills is somebody who's going to play a position he's never played, at least in college, moving from the right side over to the left side. I've heard varying degrees of how hard or maybe how easy this could be. What would you say for this rookie and what you've seen from him?
You know, I think he's capable of flipping over. You know, obviously he was protecting a left-handed quarterback's blind side in college. So, you know, if they had a right-handed quarterback, I'm guessing he would have been playing over on the left. With that being said, I don't think it's as easy as just, hey, go play left tackle. You're going to be fine. I think it is going to be, a little bit of an adjustment, and I'm sure he's working on that behind the scenes now to get his pass sets right. And I've seen that he's accepted the advice from Joe Thomas, who's arguably one of the best, if not the best, to ever play that position. So he's got a lot of the right people in his corner. And just, I had never met him, I've never talked to him, but just from the way he carries himself, the way he talks, it seems like he's eager to learn, accepts, you know, advice, and I think he's up for the challenge. But I don't think it's as simple as just saying, hey, go play and you're going to be fine. I think there is a little bit of adjustment, because I've seen guys that you just kind of assume, you know, they were terrific playing on the right side, and they're not on left. So I hope he's doing everything he can to make that adjustment, and I'm sure that those other guys in that room are going to do everything they can to help him.
What does Baker Mayfield need to be as a leader on that football team? Because it seemed like he tried a little bit too hard last year and wasn't able to back it up. What's he need to do in year three?
You know, I think he just needs to be, you know, he's genuine, he's Baker, and I think the guys rallied behind that. And when you're really going to see that take off is when they start winning games and having success, because, you know, I know for a fact those guys love his attitude, the way he carries himself. He is who he is. He doesn't have to pretend. And, I would hate to see him get away from that, because that's who he is. So I know the guys rallied behind him. And, you know, yeah, it sucks when you're not winning. That kind of persona doesn't look as good when you're losing, but hey, it's going to make that all the better when they're winning games and they're on top of the division. So I think, you know, he just needs to be him, just kind of that leader, that vocal leader. And I like when he gets chippy and gets after guys. Guys feed on that. I love that. You love a lot of big personality in that quarterback position, because anytime he's, you know, running his mouth or being, you know, controversial or saying things, that just means that makes everybody else's job that around him. So I know that and everything they can to keep him upright there, because, you know, it doesn't rocket science if they realize it's not there. Now they got to do.
How many different do you play for with the Browns?
With the Browns, maybe 4 in 6 years or 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What? What changed? What changed between the personalities? What changed? What was the thing that was something that a coach said to you that you knew right off the rip that he was a good coach, or you knew that, oh gosh, we might be in a little bit of trouble with this guy? We don't need to name names. I just want to know.
You know, to be honest with you, there was only me that I right off the bat said, oh, we're in trouble. But, you know, the rest of them, it was like, because everybody looks good on that first day, that first presentation, that PowerPoint they put up, the big Newt Rockne speech. And, you know, everything's good at that point. But then you start seeing, you know, how are they treating guys? Are they treating everyone equally? Are they holding people accountable? You know, a lot of those little things behind the scenes that, you know, are done consistently and right out of the gate. Or are they slacking? Are they slipping up? Are they letting guys get away with certain things? Are they not holding people accountable? Does their scheme, does their offense make sense? Do they, do they allow their coordinators to, you know, run the offense and be kind of the generals under them? Or is it kind of a power sharing thing and an ego thing? So you find that out as the weeks go on. But I want to say probably only one time where I was like, oh boy, this is going to be a long year.
Just real quick. I'm not going to ask you who the coach is or anything.
Who's the coach? John, who's the coach? Tell us who the coach is. Because we're going to look at, we're going to put it up, we're going to put it on a poll.
It'll be on Pro Football Talk. It'll be on Pro Football Talk. You want to make some news, John? You go ahead and tell me.
Give us some news. We have a pandemic. We have no sports. Go.
I'm gonna pass on that. But, you know, I'm sure I'll be paying attention to your poll, and maybe I'll sneak a vote in there.
Okay. Lava just threw me off. Real quick, for me, how easy is it? You guys are all millionaires. You guys, well, most of you, you guys make a lot of money. And for a lot of those guys, the most money they've ever made in their lives. So if they've arrived, how easy is it for a younger coach or a less experienced head coach to lose a locker room?
You know, it's only easy if he loses the respect. If you're going through a tough year and, you know, things aren't going the way you want, you know, how does that coach carry himself? Does he stick behind his players, or do people start pointing fingers? As long as you kind of rally everyone and keep everyone on the same ship and you don't start throwing people overboard, I think you can maintain the locker room. And now there's always going to be guys that are just going to be bitter and jump ship and start doing that, pointing fingers. But, you know, in my experience, the guys that have, you know, continuously come into work every day and just say, hey, listen, this isn't going our way, but listen, it's us against the world. Let's keep everything in-house. Let's, you know, just be quiet and try to win games. I think that's what they can do. Now, if they do the opposite, that's when you lose the locker room. That's when the veterans say, you know, hey, you know, Scott, he's not on our board. He'd be the locker room.
All right, John Greco, join us. We had a huge debate right before you came on. Not sure if you listen. I know at times you do. But LeBron James, after last night, we were watching, thinking, all right, Michael Jordan tried baseball. Is LeBron, would it be cool if he went back to his roots? He played high school football in Akron. Do you think right now, at this age, 35, he could go into the NFL and play either wide receiver? I said maybe even defensive end. Do you think it's crazy he could be more than serviceable?
Obviously, basketball is different. If I ran up and down a basketball court four times right now, I'd probably need double knee. You know, he's in a shape where he's in shape to play multiple minutes throughout a whole game, running up and down a court, jumping. You know, is he getting up every play? You know, he's catching a lot of elbows. Basketball is a very physical sport. But you're talking, you know, as a pass rusher, I don't know. Would he be successful? Those tackles are 340 pounds. So I think he'd be okay if he played, you know, tight end receiver. You know, maybe he was getting hit by smaller safeties. But you got to remember, those guys, they see that big tree, they're going to be chopping wood. They're going to be taking his legs out. They're going to be, you know, a lot of shots at his knees and hips and in the chest. And, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say that he wouldn't be able to do it, but it'd be interesting. I would definitely have to be watching.
I told Lima it may be wide receiver, maybe tight end. I think at defensive end, he'd either learn one move and would probably be stopped eventually, or he would just be a mess out there. Because come on. Joe's the best to ever do it, more than likely. But even if it's not Joe over there, I still think someone's going to be able to put cuffs on him and be able to handle him fairly efficiently, even though he is a great athlete. We're talking about
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, the receiver tight end argument is, I think he would be successful. You know, now I'm just saying over the, 16-17 game season, if he's getting smashed over the middle, play in and play out, I think he's going to be like, maybe that's not for me. But it pass rusher, I think you're right. I when he's going to schools and who knows if he'd be a power rusher or spin moves or what he would be doing. But, it would just take a few times for him to be, cuffed up by the tackle and you have a guard come over and smash you in the ribs where he would be like, I don't know.
John, I can't thank you enough for the time, buddy. All the best to you and yours. Hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Guys, this is fun. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. The great John Greco joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Do I do a little champions poser?
Well, he agreed with me about being able to come right in and play wide receiver tight end.
I never said he'd be garbage. I said he'd be able to make a roster, didn't I? I think that's what I said.
It sounded like John thought he'd be much more than just that.
A defensive thing.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.